listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It is a great pleasure to have with us a man that I've come to admire greatly, as does Senator Steve Daines, as we heard in the previous segment. He is Congressman Mike Pompeo. He represents the people of the 4th District of Kansas with great distinction. He is in the House of Representatives, a member of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, also a member of the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, and also serves on the House Select Committee on Benghazi. Even the Hill newspaper has recognized what an extraordinary public servant Mike is, a man who graduated first in his class from West Point, went on to serve in the United States Army, and is now a leading light in the national security firmament in the House. Congressman, it's always great to have you with us. Welcome back.
Frank, thanks for the kind introduction. It's great to be with you again as well.
Heartfelt and well-deserved. Let me talk to you about a couple of things you're working on. One is Guantanamo Bay. In our conversation with Senator Daines, we talked about his recent visit there. I know you have been really a leader in trying to preserve this intelligence and interrogation facility. What's your current reading on what the president is poised to do, the recidivism rate, the implications of his actions, and what might be done to prevent them?
So the president has made very clear that he has a singular intention with respect to the terrorists that are housed at Guantanamo Bay, and that is to bring them back to the United States. In Kansas, we know this very well. We've got disciplinary barracks at Fort Leavenworth. They are literally no place to store the worst of the worst terrorists. What we know now is we've said in the House, we've said it's illegal. We've had the president sign bills to make it so. Now we have his attorney general, Secretary of Defense Ash Carter, and most recently in a letter to me, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff all said it would be illegal to do. And yet I continue to remain concerned that this president is intent on doing what he has told his base he will do, which is close this facility, bring these terrorists back to the United States. It is ludicrous and dangerous, and I'm going to do everything we can to stop him.
Good. Are you particularly concerned, Congressman Pompeo, about his travels to Cuba later this month and the possibility this may be a vehicle for advancing this agenda of his?
Absolutely. I hear folks say, Mike, it's illegal. He can't possibly do that. But anybody who has served as a member of Congress, or frankly, even the public watching, knows this president stops at almost nothing. And certainly a piece of paper making something illegal, if he believes this is something that's important, he'll continue to pursue it. I think his trip to Cuba is certainly a part of his effort to find out what the options are, to see what's possible, and to ultimately achieve what he would view as an enormous victory for him in his final few months in office.
Yeah, victory for him, defeat for the United States of America, I'm sorry to say. Congressman, you have been one of the leading lights on, well, as I say, so many national security issues, but particularly on Iran, a very harsh and informed and I think quite effective critic of this so-called deal the president has struck. Senator Daines and I were talking about the extent to which, in the process, he seemed to have overlooked the fact that Iranian cyber operatives were inside a dam in New York State, among other things. Talk, if you would, a bit about what have we learned in the months since you and your colleagues, unfortunately, were unable to stop this deal. With respect to, particularly, maybe at the beginning, we should talk about these missile tests, including one that may be imminent.
Yeah, for those of us who have been watching Iran for a while, and you'd certainly be part of that, Frank, I'm not sure we've learned anything new. I think what's been demonstrated is that philosophically, the theocracy is extremist, it is Islamist, and it is intent on the destruction of the West. And no piece of paper, signed or unsigned, with any level of detail is going to stop them from the pursuit of a nuclear weapon. And you see that, whether it's the terrorist activities of the Quds Force and the IRGC, Iranians who were here in the United States perpetrating terror, and the missile tests, right, which are clearly remain illegal, but which our administration refuses to push back on. The Iranians continue to have intent, right? It is Sana'a, Baghdad, Damascus, Tehran, Beirut. They view those five capitals as an important places to control, and they are intent on doing them, and President Obama has literally done almost nothing to push back on them. It is most unfortunate, and we are continuing down the path of allowing the Iranians to develop a nuclear weapons program.
Well, and we may see, and if I understand correctly, this so-called space launch vehicle, a three-stage rocket capable of lofting something either in space or perhaps intercontinentally, as a platform for delivering such nuclear weapons as they bring them about. And Congressman, again, you have been very engaged in trying to point out the weaknesses. Were you surprised that we're now being told, not just by the Russians, but I gather by our own administration, that there's no impediment to them doing this sort of thing, at least under the terms of this so-called deal?
It's shocking. Remember, the president told us all publicly that this was about nuclear weapons, and anything outside of the development of a nuclear weapon was not covered by this deal, and we would continue to impose harsh sanctions on the Iranians and penalize them if they behaved badly. And here they are developing a system which has no known use but the capacity to ultimately deliver a nuclear weapon, allowed to build, allowed to work, allowed to do R&D, all the things that permit them to have one of the three legs. Right? To deliver a nuclear weapon, you need the material, you need weaponization, and you need the capacity to deliver it. And the Iranians are going to be given fairly free rein by this administration. I'm just hopeful that in a few months we'll have a new president who will begin to unwind the devastatingly bad policy that we've had with respect to Iran over the last 3 or 4 years. And what the IAEA itself has now conceded is that they have enormous restraints placed on them, not only on what they can expect, but what they can communicate. That is, what they can tell the world, what they can report on. So a watchdog with the task of inspecting and reporting, who is restricted, in this case the IAEA's restrictions are enormous, but that's restricted from doing that is not much of a watchdog. It's more of a lapdog. And the risk to their development and their covert efforts to continue to build out their nuclear weapons program is just enormous.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Congressman, let me turn to one other issue. You have been, as a member of the Intelligence Committee, and also, I think, in connection with the Benghazi Select Committee, very mindful of the various challenges we're facing from Islamic supremacists. The Obama administration seems to have been largely blind to particularly the Islamic supremacists of the Muslim Brotherhood stripe, who claim to be nonviolent. And on that grounds, the administration seems to say, well, they can be our go-to guys in combating those Islamists, Islamic supremacists, who are violent. There is a new executive order just signed by the president on Monday that talks about a global engagement center. And it sounds to me as though it's likely to be just another platform for engaging the Muslim Brotherhood in undermining our policies, domestic and foreign, with respect to the threat posed by jihad. Do you have any thoughts based on what you've seen has already played out in our efforts to work with these guys in places like, well, Libya, for example, Benghazi specifically, and more broadly, the implications for our country of these guys having free rein in this fashion here at home, too?
Frank, it's important that we focus on the risk, right? The threat. The threat isn't just those extremists that have strapped a bomb to their chest. They obviously need to be stopped. We need to do everything we can to keep the violence out of the United States. But extremism in all of its forms continues to pose enormous risk. That is, the funders, the facilitators, the communicators, the agitators, the folks, the clerics who are preaching this radical form of Islamism shouldn't be permitted to hide under this moniker of peace-loving Muslims when, in fact, they themselves believe in an extremist ideology. We've got to be broader than just violent extremism. Extremism in all of its forms presents risk to America, and many countries who recognize this. The Gulf states, lots of countries have designated the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, and the United States ought to move in that direction as well.
Yeah. Well, as you know, Congressman Mike Pompeo, your House Judiciary Committee recently approved legislation that would encourage the designation of the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist group. I hope you and your colleagues will have a chance to vote on that on the floor in the near future.
I do too, sir.
We look forward to talking with you about that in the days ahead. Thank you for your leadership on all of these issues and for joining us from time to time. We'll look forward to doing so again with you soon. In the meantime, stay well, sir. Next up, we'll be talking with Rick Manning about the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and you. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.